Page 67, exercises B and C, a lecture about succeeding in business.
Now I'd like to introduce our speaker, Dr. Peter O'Brien, who will talk about the 21st century skill set, those skills we all need in this age of globalization. Here's Dr. O'Brien.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. First off, let me say I've got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that current economic growth levels aren't very promising, and the world economy just isn't creating enough quality jobs, resulting in widespread unemployment. There are over 200 million people unemployed in the world, and that number is rising. To make things worse, 1.4 billion people have jobs that aren't secure, and 780 million people are paid less than $3.10 daily. The good news, however, is that there is a set of skills you can acquire that can help you thrive, even in these hard times. I spent most of my career talking to successful people, including many CEOs of the world's largest companies, across a range of business sectors. And these experiences have helped me recognize a set of global skills, or global competences, as I call them, that are the secret to success in the global job market. In my many years of research, I've identified four areas of competence that all successful professionals in today's world seem to be acquiring. It's these competences that have allowed them to compete successfully, even in a tight labor market. These four areas of competence are personal competence, social competence, business competence, and last but not least, cultural competence. In the time we have, I'm going to give you an overview of these four competences and highlight three components of each one. The four competences start at the individual level and expand outward in rings in the following way. Personal competence involves the individual and individual psychology. Social competence pertains to our team and coworkers around us. Business competence relates to the company or industry we work in as a whole. And cultural competence requires a higher level understanding of the cultures we work in and how they fit into the world. So, let me start at the individual level with personal competence. The first component of personal competence is understanding yourself. I mean, what you're good at and what you're not. This is so important because unless you know your own strengths and weaknesses, it's easy to use time and resources incorrectly. The second component is what is known as emotional intelligence, a useful concept that's been around for a while. By emotional intelligence, I mean understanding your own emotions and those of others. Why is emotional intelligence important? Well, research has shown that a high level of emotional intelligence actually facilitates decision-making, which is such an important skill in business. The third component of personal competence is the ability to be realistic but optimistic. Being realistic but at the same time optimistic allows us to stay positive, even when things go wrong. So, if you understand yourself, use your emotional intelligence when dealing with others, and keep a realistic but optimistic attitude, your level of personal competence is high. The next competence I'd like to talk about, and one that is really valuable for business success, is social competence. The term social competence refers to the skills required to engage with and get the best out of other people. Social competence is essential for bringing together groups of talented people and motivating them to accomplish great things. The first component of social competence is what I call practical trust, whereby you trust people but still retain a bit of doubt. Why is practical trust so important? Because you need to trust people to get things done. Constantly doubting or needing to confirm coworkers' motives and abilities slows things down too much. The second component of social competence is constructive impatience. Constructive impatience is an expression referring to a way of being impatient that doesn't damage relationships. Its advantage is that it sends a message to coworkers and employees that things need to get done on time. Okay. And the third component of social competence is known as connective teaching. This means being just as eager to learn from others as you are to pass on your knowledge to them. When people are always teaching others and at the same time learning from them, it makes it possible for others around them to both teach and learn from each other as well. Are you still with me? Some of these concepts may be new to you, but I think they're all pretty straightforward. Next comes a competence called business competence. Exactly what skills make up this competence will vary from business to business, but the first component of business competence, which is relevant in every field, is managing chaos. Managing chaos allows you to deal with the unexpected changes that inevitably happen in business. In my experience, the key to managing chaos is keeping lines of communication open while at the same time staying focused on the final goal. The second component of business competence is fluency with technology, making sure to stay up to date on apps and systems used in your field. The benefit of fluency with technology is that it makes the power of the latest developments in e-business available to you. The third component of business competence that I'd like to mention is developing leadership. Whether in yourself or in potential leaders you see around you, recognizing and encouraging the development of leadership skills help businesses succeed and function better at every level. That brings me to the last competence I'd like to mention today, which is cultural competence. Cultural competence is defined as an understanding of cultural differences and how to make use of that knowledge. Understanding your own culture is a major component of this competence. Understanding your own culture allows you not only to value its strengths, but to understand its weaknesses in certain situations. For example, people from the United States often have a very direct style of communication. It's important for Americans to be aware of that. When dealing with people from cultures that value less direct styles of communication, like the Japanese, being aware of this cultural characteristic might help avoid communication problems. The second component of cultural competence is international curiosity. International curiosity allows you to look beyond your own culture for opportunities. Students who choose exchange programs and employees who apply for a transfer to a branch of their company abroad are showing international curiosity. The third component of cultural competence I'd like to mention is an ability I call bridge building. This skill allows the creation of connections across cultures that, needless to say, are unquestionably big advantages in business. I see that's all the time we have for today. I hope you've enjoyed this introduction to the idea of global competences, and I hope you'll take some time to do your own research online to learn more about the skills you need to succeed in this increasingly globalized world.